This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Just left here on a Friday. It's Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Happy Monday to you. Great to be here with all of you wonderful people. And some of you not so wonderful, but you take the good with the bad. Listen, happy Monday to you. We have a lot of Padres baseball to discuss. Bit of a sour taste in my mouth from yesterday's game. But listen, we'll get into all of that. Want to check in with the fellas here. Joined this morning by our buddy, Frank Marchese, a.k.a. Italian Paul. Good morning, Frankie.
Good morning.
Got your Italia hat on.
Yep.
And you'll be subjected to many Italian references today.
Already have been.
hopefully you're okay with that.
I'm fine with it.
I did say, we were talking about a story, and I said, imagine that we're just three buddies sitting around a bar. And then I went, well, you don't drink. I don't really drink. Ben doesn't really drink. I said, then for you, Frankie, think about three of us sitting around a pizzeria and we are having a slice together. If that makes it better, we're just sitting at the local pizzeria having some food.
Your local round table?
Yeah, your local round table having a slice. That's exactly right. So welcome in. It's good to have you. Always good to have Frankie in here with us. And Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Benjamin? You like a good pizzeria?
I do like a good pizzeria.
Oh, I do, too.
I like Italian Paul as well. It's good to have you in here, Frank. And Paulie, regular Paul Randall, should be back tomorrow. Do we have any updates? I saw some pictures from his bachelor party weekend in mid-state Washington.
I talked to him once over the weekend.
You did? Okay.
I called him yesterday after the Tier 1 game. And just gave him an update on how we did, and we dominated.
Another win for the Tier 1s. The winning streak now closing in on 20?
Something close to
something
that.
Like that?
It's been
crazy.
Insane. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. But I called him, and, you know, Paulie is, I was just also, like, I needed, like, the reassurance of when will you be back? When are you flying in? I like to know, you know, I like to know how our little guy's doing. So He will actually be at his home before the show ends. He's already on a plane flying back to San Diego this morning, so he'll be here tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So he'll be back soon. You're the worrier of the show.
Yes.
You think it would maybe be me.
No.
But I'm actually just the go with the flow.
Yeah, it is weird.
Of the show.
It is weird.
And Woods is the tends to be the one who worries about things going wrong.
I do.
Like, for instance, last night, sometime in the evening, you started a group thread with me, you, and Italian Paul.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just the normal checking in, making sure everybody's ready for the show tomorrow.
Yeah.
But you kind of just want to make sure, like, Paul remembers, right? Like, he didn't forget, or someone didn't forget to tell him that he's coming in the morning.
Italian Paul?
You wanted to make sure that he was going to be here in the morning.
Yeah, and like...
Because you were worried. You don't want to show up and like no one's here to run the board and produce the show.
And did you know, do you need anything from us?
Yeah. No, it's the right thing to do. But I wouldn't even think about that. I just assume, well, I know Italian Paul's going to be here. I don't need to check in. But you wanted to make sure he was on board and ready to go.
It's probably an annoying habit of mine. It probably is. But, you know, I feel like if you touch everybody too the night before just to say, hey... Don't forget, we got a job to do in the morning. It's annoying. I get it. I totally get it. I would be annoyed if somebody else did it because it's kind of my role.
That's why I bring it up.
Well, and I do it to my baseball team as well. So I have a roster of 21 guys, and I am constantly, you good? You're coming, right? You are. Are you good to play right? Or can you play third tomorrow?
But every group sort of needs that guy
I feel like that too.
Or gal who is the check-in person, the organizer.
And because if you wait for 21 guys to... If you just say, hey, we have a game Sunday at 1, see you guys there, I can't plan the strategy, the line. I can't do it. And like for today's show, I wanted to kind of... It was a gentle nudge at Frankie to be like, don't forget. And you know what? You know what this SOB did this morning? Guy walked in at the same time as me at 5 a.m. sharp, which was the first thing I said.
I appreciate a producer that's here on time.
Look at you. Gave him a big hug. Not that Paulie's not.
Sorry, Paul.
Not that Paulie's not on time. But
I'd break your brain if I got here when you got here.
That would kill me. That would actually put me in cardiac arrest. If I walked in and Ben was here already, I really don't know what I would do. But yeah, I'm definitely that. And I wouldn't even say a worry ward. I just... want to make sure all the particulars are covered. That's what my role is on the show. And sometimes my role on the show is being an idiot. Sometimes it's putting my foot in my mouth. Sometimes it's talking out of my ass. All of these things are true. But listen, that kind of comes with the territory of being a sports talk radio host. And I feel like we're pretty decent at the job. You know, every now and then we get some, you know, mean people saying some mean things. I saw one yesterday. He tagged you. He was responding to you, but he tagged me in it and said something to the effect of, this is why everybody thinks you and at the Stephen Woods are morons. And I had this nasty reply typed up, and I just went, I'm not in the mood.
F you!
The guy's name is Cornholio. He goes by Cornholio 1546974.
It's a fun backyard game that you can play.
That's Cornhole.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cornholio was from Beavis and Butthead. So, yeah, this guy's a huge dork, and he does it all the time. And he's probably listening, because I know he listens. Good morning, Cornholio. And I sometimes people are nice, sometimes they're mean, but... Listen, it is what it is. So, great, great weekend, I thought, for the most part. I mean, certainly an exciting weekend of Padres baseball. Jackson Merrill, he appears to be the real deal, guys.
The evidence is starting to mount.
I don't really know.
They've got something there. There's something there.
I really don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say anymore about this kid other than... Other than he's just fantastic, and he's just so fun to watch, and he's so lovable and likable, you can't hate him. You can be on the other team and go, God, I want to hate that dude, and I can't. He doesn't run off at the mouth. He doesn't act like a fool. He's just a guy you look and go, God dang it. You hate him.
I don't
him
like the way he dances. Yeah, I don't like the way he dances.
Like,
he gets too, his hips swivel a little too much after a win.
It's unbelievable, that kid. And you know, we've got all the highlights what an exciting weekend of Padres baseball it was. Now, I think it is fair to look at the weekend of baseball that was and go, all right, I mean,
lost a game to the Dodgers, lost a game to the Diamondbacks, pretty unsuccessful weekend.
I don't know what that means.
Well, both those teams won their last three, and the Padres lost a game in the standings.
I was like, we played the Marlins.
No, no.
We lost a game in the standings.
They lost a game in the standings to both the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks
this weekend. I think it's definitely fair to look at those three games and go, all right, yes, congrats. You got two out of three. You damn near won the third. But fellas, it didn't have to be that way. It did not have to be that way. It did not have to fall on that kid's. It should not have had to fall on that kid's shoulders. I'm glad that it did. His shoulders were broad enough and big enough. But I do think it's fair to come in here this morning and say, hey, as good as this has been, yeah, there's some things they need to clean up ASAP.
I saw your post last night. You love the grit squad.
I love.
Where's the blowout squad?
I need the. I want Vlad the Impaler this week. That's what I want. Like, I don't want anybody on the Pirates to actually lose their limbs. I don't want anybody on the Rockies to actually lose their limbs. Metaphorically, I want those guys beaten into the ground, okay? I want it to look like a battle of the Civil War when we're done with them. Metaphorically. Because the grit squad is also the hypertension squad and the high blood pressure squad. They're insane. I mean, they're just insane. And you do feel like they've had some opportunities to put games away, put inferior opponents away. Yeah, man.
If Mike Schilt is listening to this, he's having a cardiac moment.
He is.
And not just Mike Schilt. Any major league manager.
Yeah.
One thing they can't stand is questioning the nature of a win.
A win is a win. What do I say?
A 5-1 road trip.
Yep.
It doesn't matter how you do it, whether you have to come from behind in every game, whether you blow them out 15-0.
Sure.
It doesn't matter to them at all.
I think it's fair, though. I think it's fair to look at the team and say, wow, all right. I don't want to say lucky. I don't even want to say they got lucky two games. I don't. I don't want to say that they got lucky. I just want to say, Let's clean up what we think we can clean up and take care of business this week against the Pirates and the Rockies. And they did, man. They took care of business. It was a 5-1 road trip. I've said it all the time. I don't complain about wins. I don't care how you get them. I don't really care how you get them. But it was pretty dicey there for a couple of those games, man. And I think, just like everything, man, like I think if you have a big ratings book in our business, hey, we're number one. We must be good. We don't have to do anything. No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works in any walk of life, any business. You can always be better. I think Mike Schilt would absolutely say, oh, yeah, we can be better. We absolutely can be better. And hopefully he's demanding more of them, and hopefully they're demanding more of themselves, and I'm sure they are. So that's kind of my...
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
And yesterday's game was actually sloppy. We'll get into it. We'll obviously talk about what happened in the ninth inning and the home run that wasn't my Ha-Sung Kim and give you our thoughts coming up. But at the same time, Padres, since the All-Star break, have played, 15 games on the road already, all of them on the East Coast.
Yeah.
That's a gnarly,
super gnarly
stretch of games. Not that many off days the last week or so. If there was a little fatigue at the end of a long stretch like that, that's common. I'm not throwing out excuses. I'm just saying, as a baseball observer, whether it's the Padres or any other team, you get sent on two East Coast road trips, you finally get to that last Sunday day game.
Woo!
I've seen teams that run out of gas. Padres looked a little out of gas, and yet they fought back from 5-0 and had a chance to win it. I mean, they continue to press. I really don't have a lot bad to say about the San Diego Padres. It's going to be mostly positive today.
And mine is, too. I mean, honestly, the only thing you can really point to is some defense. You know, cleaning up some defense. And, Kimmy almost redeemed himself yesterday. And, of course, we will talk about the home run that wasn't. I think after everybody has slept on it, seen it a dozen times now, I know I looked at it and went, all right, I get it now. I totally understand the rule. Problem is, it's like in a court of law. As an attorney, I go in and say, but Your Honor, look at all this precedent. May I give you Jose Ramirez against the Red Sox? May I give you J.D. Martinez? May I give you these? These are all precedents for the exact same situation that were called home runs. I think they were called wrong. I actually think yesterday's was called correctly by the letter of the law. And the more I saw it, I went, okay. I mean, it's stupid. It's a stupid rule. It doesn't make sense. But it is, in fact, the rule. And I do think they got it right. As much as I hate it and as much as I wanted that for Ha-Sung Kim yesterday, I do think they got the call right.
I think there's still a tiny bit of gray area that Major League Baseball needs to address on this, though.
But is it because of the precedent that has already been set by the other ones?
No, I think it's because there's no... Well, we'll talk about it. I've got some thoughts. I know you do as well. So we will talk about all of that. Let's take our first time out. We'll come back, set the menu for a Monday. Should be a good show to start the week. Looking forward to it. Look at all the tier ones who are already in here, ready to talk about this game. Fired up this morning. Very excited to be here. We'll check traffic with Kelly Danick, and then we are off and running on a Monday morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Will be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be right back.
Oh, that little premature bendulation there.
It was not.
It was.
I was perfect. I was perfect. Frank was a little slow on the countdown.
Ben had a live read for Farmer's Dog, and Frank goes 5, 4, 3. Ben goes, all right, it's Ben for Farmer's Dog. I was like, oh my God, please don't put this man in charge of launching the shuttle. Like
Ben just did it again 2 seconds early.
Yes, but the previous spot had already ended, and it was either start talking or 3 seconds of dead air. Frank was slow on the countdown.
I laughed so hard. 5, 4, 3.
You guys were just dying over there. I knew why, but I was like, it's either talk
countdown on the ding
or dead air. Your countdown on your computer was a little slow.
That's incredible.
I took matters into my own hands.
Yeah, you did.
I'm actually paying attention to what's going on here during
that
the break.
So
it's not that we weren't paying attention. It's I couldn't hear it.
It's so brilliant.
I couldn't hear the spot.
I laughed so hard. 5, 4, 3. There goes the rocket.
So it's a kind of a regular Monday show here in terms of wrapping up the weekend of games. Padres wrap up. Take on Woods. Don't do this in our 7 o'clock hour. Italian Paul report at 9 o'clock. And in season Sammy is going to join us at 8:35. And I thought before Sam Levitt talks to us, what a great job Sammy did. Well, he always does on all the pre and post game shows. But yesterday in particular, after the ninth inning controversy with Ha-Sung Kim and the non home run. To get, you know, Mike Winters, the Padres in-stadium ex-MLB umpire expert on to try to explain to fans a very confusing situation and why that home run was, in fact, overturned.
That's just smart business by Sammy. That is like, hey, don't listen to me. Listen to an actual expert and stop calling me and screaming at me. Here's an expert. And it's brilliant. That's a brilliant, brilliant piece of radio.
Let's play what Mike Winters had to say to Sam Levitt on the postgame show yesterday regarding Ha-Sung Kim's non-home run in the ninth inning.
How did you interpret what happened on the field and then what the replay room saw? Help us understand.
Hey, Sam, thanks for having me. I understand it's confusing, but when the ball hit the wall and came back towards the field, by rule, it is no longer in flight. So I describe it this way. A player can't catch it. It's the same as if it bounced on the ground once it starts coming back towards the field. So it didn't hit the top of the wall and continue out. If it had done that, then, yeah, it would have been a home run. But it came back towards the field and then hit the left fielder and was sent over. So by rule, no longer in flight, and then the fielder knocked it out of the park over the fence in that area. And now that made it the ground rule double.
Mike, I may ask some sort of silly questions here, but just an umpire, no silly questions. But is there any scenario, like if that ball, let's say, pops straight up, and we can't tell whether it would have went over on its own or come back into the field of play, is there any scenario where the fielder can touch it and it does end up being a home run once it hits the fence, or that's a no-go?
Now, if it hits dead on top of the wall and pops straight in the air, and as it's coming down, then it's touched, then maybe, okay. That's very, very difficult to do. But clearly it came back towards the field, and that's the key to me. That when the second it happened, I just happened to have the game on, and the second it happened, and I said, that's a double, and waiting for the crew to check it, and sure enough, Miller checked it, and they ruled it correctly.
All right, so that was Mike Winters with Sam Levin on the postgame show yesterday. And it was actually a really good explanation when he talked about the ball no longer being in flight. I saw a ton of people, I'm sure you did yesterday, Woods, invoke Jose Canseco.
Oh, yeah.
And the ball that bounced off of his head and over the wall. And what Mike Winters was explaining was, well, just like with Xander Bogaerts and Jackson Merrill during Dylan Cease's no-hitter, when a ball hits a fielder and is still in the air and is caught by another fielder, it's still in flight. It could still be an out at that point. So it's still going. And if it had gone over the wall, if Xander had knocked that one 100 feet into the, outfield and it went over the wall, that technically would have been a home run. Now, I don't know how physics would have allowed that to happen, but technically that ball is still in flight and can still be caught. Once it touches the wall, it no longer can be caught by the outfielder for an out. So there's a pretty important distinction between those two. Now, I thought Sammy's question was outstanding, and that's the gray area that's still here. I agree with you. The ball that Ha-Sung Kim hit was heading back toward the field before it got knocked over the wall. But you've got a gray area there, because there have been balls, as Mike Winter said, oh, you'll never see that. We saw, though, one in that White Sox game.
Yeah.
Hit the wall, went straight up, hit the wall again. It can happen. So what's the ruling there when it's so close to call? Is it a home run? Is it not a home run? It's touched the wall, so it's no longer in flight. How do the umpire, how are they supposed to know what's going to happen in that situation? And if there wasn't replay, how would they have ever made that call on that ball at the wall? So I think you really should change the rule and say anything that goes over the wall without hitting the ground
this is a home run.
Is now a home run. I think it's a bad rule.
Is that why Jesse always says rule book double instead of ground rule double?
Yeah.
That's probably why. I'll set the scene for you. Yesterday, we were in the dugout when that's happening. And it was, the game was, you're like, oh, I was listening, driving over to the game, 1 o'clock game. I'm like, yeah, we're out of it. All right, no big deal. Get loose, start playing. And somebody shows up, hey, Padres are within two. Oh, Padres are within one. So then tier one Brett is up at the plate. And it's like, oh my God, Ha-Sung Kim. The whole dugout goes, rah! And we're all screaming and yelling. By the time the last out's made, I go play first base, and they're like, they took it away. It's a double. Campy just got out. I'm like, we lost that game. We lost that game. They're playing first base going, you got to be kidding me. Man, listen, the magic was on the magic was on our side for a couple games. And let's be honest, the magic was on our side a little bit yesterday as well. I did. After I came home and really dove into it and watched it over and over and over, I thought to myself this. If the shoe was on the other foot, we would want that law, that rule, called by the letter of the law. No home run, ground rule double. We still, after all that, had a chance to win that game with a base hit from Luis Camposano, whatever. And didn't get the job done. And it's a really good road trip. I don't know how. I mean, those guys have a really remarkable ability to flush it and move on. Even Schilt said, I think they got the call right, So It was a weird one.
I think he didn't. I don't think he likes the rule.
No, he doesn't like the rule. Yeah,
he agrees with us. If a ball, hey, if it doesn't touch the ground yet and he goes over the wall, just make it a
home run.
Make it a home run.
And I bet you every manager in baseball would sign up for that. You know, if it doesn't touch the ground and it goes over the wall, there's all these weird ballpark specific things. And but it did the yellow line. Oh, did it hit that grate there? The seating grate. Oh, that's a home run then. But if it's just below it, then it's not a home run. Let's figure it out. If it goes over the wall without hitting the ground, that's a bomb.
Bob Scanlon did some pretty good reporting as well as he was trying to figure out what was going on. And he learned, and I don't know that I hadn't realized this. He said the yellow line makes no difference at
right.
all. The yellow line is completely irrelevant other than to help the umpires see the difference between a ball that goes over. Because obviously in a lot of parks, a ball can hit over like a railing over the wall or a scoreboard over the wall and then bounce back onto the field. And it's just a way that they can tell if it hits something, is it on which side of that yellow line? But the yellow line, a ball that hits the yellow line is not a home run in any ballpark. Right. It's got to go over the wall a home run. It's just where is that wall? And sometimes the yellow line shows you where the wall is. But there's no rule in baseball that says, oh, that yellow line, you touch it, it's definitely a home run. No, if it hits the yellow line and bounces back onto the field, that's just a double or just whatever, you know, ends up happening at the end of that play. So we learned a lot about the rules of baseball in yesterday's game.
And you do that every year. Every single year you see something and you go, never seen that before. Just the weirdest thing.
And I just want to clarify, because I saw someone say it in the chat, that was not a ballpark-specific rule.
That is
an MLB rule.
That's why Jesse doesn't say ground rule double. A ground rule is a rule that's specific to the grounds that you are playing on. Like, Fenway Park has, you know, different ground rules. If it goes in that little window of the scoreboard,
yes,
that's a double. So that's a ground rule. A ball that bounces and goes over the fence, that's in the rule book of Major League Baseball. That applies to all 30 ballparks. Ooh. And that's why I think Jesse says rule book double as opposed to ground rule double.
Yeah, I'm just very impressed by the guy. Let's talk about this next. I'm just very impressed by the resiliency, to be honest with you, of this club. After the rain out game or the rain delay game.
It's remarkable.
Having to come back and rejigger everything the way they did and to come away 5-1, I thought that was a real testament to their resiliency, their clutch gene, whatever it is. I think most of that's on Jackson Merrill, but a lot of people deserve a lot of credit for those wins this weekend.
All right, we'll come back with Padres wrap-up, a rare losing edition. It's been a while.
It has.
But we'll talk about the wins coming up as well. Don't go away. More Ben Woods next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I'm sure it's very nice for Jesse Agler and Bob Scanlon and Don and Mud to finally be home today. Probably wish they are going to be able to stay here a little bit longer.
It's a short little
3 days. And then Thursday's an off day, and then off to Colorado for 3 games this weekend. And then they got a real week-long homestand next week with the, who's coming in? The Minnesota Twins and the New York Mets.
Yeah.
I believe next week. So this is just a 3-game homestand against the Pittsburgh Pirates starting tonight. After the Padres swept the Pirates in Pittsburgh, I mean, you know, and I don't think they haven't won a game since because they got swept in L.A.
Yep.
over the weekend. So you got a team that is kind of reeling, but gave you a whole lot of trouble in those games, at least 2 of the 3 games in Pittsburgh. So we'll see what happens. First, though, let's go back through last night's game, yesterday's game, our Padres wrap up, Jesse's highlights, and we'll talk about the rest of the game that led up to Ha-Sun Kim's non-home run right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino, fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
The pitch and Ryan, kind of a half swing grounder to third base. That's going to work out for him. Manny gloves it, but he's got no play. Edwards comes in to score and an infield single to give the Marlins a 1-0 lead here in the first. Ryan and Berger are on the move. 3-2 pitch lined and over the head of Cronenworth into right center field. Merrill gets to it. Berger has scored. Bride will be held. And a good battle with Otto Lopez turns into an RBI single. 2-0 Miami in the first. 0-2 pitch. Edwards grounds it up the middle to his right. Cronenworth is cut off by Kim. He throws wide to first. Arise can't handle it. And Hill will come in to score. Oh boy, more sloppy defense here in the second inning. Looked like it was going to be Cronenworth's play, and then Kim ran in front of him. Throw was not on target. Arise kind of reaching up the line, had a tick off his glove, and rolled toward the dugout railing, and the Marlins lead it 3-0. Pitch here hit hard and deep into center field. Merrill is back. He is at the wall. It's going to go. Another homer for Jake Berger. He has gone deep in all three games of this series. A two-run shot here in the second inning, and the Marlins lead is now 5-0. And now the first pitch to Peralta. Swung on, hit hard. Fair down the right field line. That's going to roll all the way to the corner. Merrill speeding around second, heading for third. He's going to be waved. Jackson's lost the helmet on his way home. No throw. RBI double David Peralta, and a one-run game in the seventh. Runner on first, nobody out. 5-4 Marlins in the seventh, and he hits it in the air to very deep right field. How about that? Peralta back to watch second deck. A home run for Sanchez. It's a two-run shot, and the Marlins re-extend their lead at 7-4. 2-2, the pitch on the way. Solano swings, sends it in the air to left field, pretty well struck. Stowers is back, still going back. He's at the wall, looking up, gonna go! Pinch hit, two-run homer, Donovan Solano. And a one-run game here in the eighth inning. He is now 5-for-10 in the pinch this season. 7-6 Miami. Pitch coming. Kim swings, sends it in the air, deep to left field. Stowers is back, still going back at the wall, leaps up, can't make the catch, hits off the top of the fence, it goes! A home run to tie it! Down to their final out in the ninth inning, Ha-Sung Kim, it's his first homer since June, and it's 7-7 in the ninth. Bill Miller is checking with his buddies in New York. His microphone has not been working today. He's trying to make his announcement. The microphone's not working. He will signal a double?
What?
And Mike Schilt coming out. I don't understand. Bill Miller gave him the shrug. Now the 2-2. Campisano swings and misses strike three. And the ball game is over. Marlins win a weird one. Padre comeback falls just short. And maybe incorrectly, we'll find out, hear what they have to say after this game. Either way, the road trip will end with a 5-1 record, and the Marlins hang on for a 7-6 win here this afternoon.
The rule is, if it hits the wall, hits the defender, goes over the wall, it's a double.
Never seen one like that.
I've not.
Yeah.
I think they got it right. I don't. You know, whether I agree with the rule or don't agree with the rule, you know, it's a tough place for the timing of it. You know, ball went over the fence. Didn't touch the ground. Feels like a home run. But the rule tells you differently. You know, but what an effort from the group. Another good squad performance.
It's pretty insane. I mean, pretty insane. When this team gets down, two runs, three runs, you can kill the piano, Elton John. When they get down two runs, three runs, four runs, five runs, you're like, all right. I mean, it's in them. It's absolutely in them. Do I love winning games that way? No, I do not. It's excruciating to watch, but I sure better than the alternative of getting down two runs and digging a hole for yourself and just burying your head in the sand. But yeah, is it sustainable to continue at that pace? No. You're going to need to win some laughers.
Yeah, why were they down 5-0 to begin with? Obviously, Dylan Cease wasn't quite as sharp as he had been. Now, can't have helped. He did not blame the one inning outing and, you know, kind of throwing him off anything. He said, no, he felt pretty good, just didn't have quite the sharpness. But he wasn't, other than the Berger. And Berger is as hot as anybody in baseball.
On another planet
and,
right now.
And took a pitch that most guys can't even touch and put it out to center field. Other than that, it was some, you know, well-placed ground balls, yep, for the most part. And certainly no help from his defense. Sloppy baseball by Ha Sung Kim, the error, and then the throw. That error was charged to Arise, who could have gotten that one, but Kim also could have put it in a better spot, or as Jesse described, could have let just Jake take that one on that play that led to three unearned runs against Dylan Cease in the second inning. Just not good, sloppy play early. And then when you get back to 5-4, and I thought this was a critical,
crucial
part of the game, because we've seen it a few times when you can't hold that deficit, especially with Yuki Matsui, who gave up the two-run home run to Jesus Sanchez. And I haven't seen anyone else bring this up, and I've been kind of sitting on it since yesterday. But if you remember that at-bat, it was in the bottom of the seventh inning after the Padres had just pulled within one. And Matsui comes in to face Sanchez, who is hitting 118 against lefties this year. And
it's the right move.
Matsui's had some trouble with the long ball, and Jesus can hit them, but those numbers are pretty obvious. You bring in a lefty there. Now, Skip Schumacher, manager of the Marlins, had in that game earlier, and I think multiple times in the series, he showed that I don't have a ton of confidence necessarily in my guy getting a hit here. So he called for a lot of bunts.
Steven Coronado, Skip Schumacher's got to be his favorite manager.
And on the first pitch from Yuki Matsui, Jesus Sanchez squared around like he was going to try to move that runner from first to second into scoring position to try to get an extra insurance run. Matsui missed, and he's down 1-0. And I feel like there was a bit of a rope-a-dope. And whether it was Skip or Jesus, you know, just reading the situation well, the next pitch by Matsui was just down the middle in like, okay, if you're going to bunt it, go ahead and just bunt it. You know, I'm not going to walk you. I'm going to throw one that you can bunt, and we'll try to make a play. And if it's, if you're going to give us an out, I will take that out. But Sanchez did not bunt it. He said, all right, now let's see if I can draw a fastball down the middle. And he clobbered it into the upper deck. I thought it was a little rope-a-dope, very smart baseball by Jesus Sanchez and the Miami Marlins. Or maybe it was just a bad pitch by Matsui, and I'm reading too much into it. But it was the first thought I had when he threw that first pitch. It's like, oh, he wants to bunt it. Let him bunt it, Matsui. What are you doing? Just throw it in there. Let him bunt it. And I was kind of hoping, all right, don't throw a ball here. Just let him bunt it.
Let him give an out.
And he did. He threw one right down the middle. Very buntable pitch. It was also very home runnable by Jesus Sanchez, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you'll see guys do it from time to time. They'll square like they're bunting for a hit. Maybe you try to draw the defense in a little bit. There's the old butcher boy play, which is it's pretty rare when you see it. That's when you square to bunt, you pull it back, and then you chop through a drawn-in infield. Boy, that's a fun play if you can get it right. If not, you kind of look like an idiot. But it's a good take, Benny, on your part. Don't know. Any confirmation. But, yeah, and as a pitcher, anytime you see a guy square to bunt and miss one, your natural reaction is like, oh, he's going to give himself up. Let me throw one down the middle. Let him bunt it right back to me. Maybe I can actually turn two on this. I'm going to let him have it. But man, he put a good swing on it and drilled it. Unfortunate turn of events for the Padres. Again, still battled back and thought they had the tying run there with the Ha Sung Kim homer. But yeah, I think, you know, some things that you can clean up. I was talking about it with the guys in the dugout yesterday, and you know, Ha Sung Kim has been a bit of a lightning rod this season. You know, known for his defense. It hasn't been great. I know that some of the advanced metrics like what he's done. That's fine, and that's absolutely fine. And you can use that as your defense. I just, for Kimmy, honestly, just get your defense in order. Shore up shortstop, and everything else is gravy. Don't be such a weird, aggressive base runner. Shore up your defense.
Thrown out of third again this weekend.
So, yeah. Sure, you hit him in the nine hole. Shore up your defense and
shore up your defense.
Or sure, you can shore it up, right? Yeah, slash bunt. Right. Somebody said, yeah, the slash bunt. I love that. Love the slash bunt. But just shore it up. And if you get some knocks, great. You know, if you're able to move guys over, great.
Now, I'm not sure. Is it shore up? Like you want to be sure of what you're doing.
Yeah, that's right.
Shore it up like you're building like a fortification, yeah, like you're shoring up your defenses.
I think either works.
I don't know.
But I just, for him, man, get your defense right. Get your head right on D, and everything else will be fine.
Obviously, he was frustrated. This is where he did not speak to the media, kind of left the locker room after the game, whether it was the defense stuff or the non-home run stuff. He took it hard. And my hope would be he actually did have a couple of hits over the weekend, drove in some runs, and then had you know, was an inch away from a, you know, a game-tying home run.
Moment.
He hit that ball really well. I mean, a little bit a more launch angle, and it probably goes out by five or six rows, but it was kind of just on that line that it wasn't quite high enough to totally get over, but, you know.
I felt bad for him, dude.
You can read that either way. You can read it as, like, this is my most frustrating moment of the season, or the point where I'm turning things around and ready to maybe be last year's Ha-Sung Kim. If they could add last year's Ha-Sung Kim down the stretch, along with Fernando Tatis Jr., and keep playing like some of the other guys are playing, boy, that could be an insanely deep lineup for the San Diego Padres.
According to the Google machine, it is sure up.
Sometimes I just pronounce words.
That's fine.
Poorly.
And then
sure up.
So with the loss, it snaps a 7-game winning streak. Going to happen sooner or later. And
I told you guys it would be jarring. Remember when I said when it happens, sure, it's going to be jarring. That one was actually less. I was more jarred when it was 5-0. That was jarring to me. That actually brought me back to less jarring, the fact that they were able to battle back.
The Padres drop a game to the Dodgers, so they're 3.5 back.
Yep.
And to the Diamondbacks as well, who are tied again for second in the NL West and for first in the wild card. But they did pick up ground on other teams in the wild card race over the weekend. They're now 4 games ahead of the Braves, who are the third wild card team, 4.5 games ahead of the Mets, who are the first team out. So the Padres currently are closer to the number one seed, which are the Dodgers and the Phillies, 3.5 games back of those teams, than they are to being out of the playoffs, which would be the 4.5 games behind New York Mets. Now, things can change, but the Padres have done some really good things here to start the second half of the season. They've gone from about 38% Fangraphs playoff chances to close to 90. They were at 90 before yesterday's game. I'm sure it ticked down a little bit. I didn't see the official number, but still high 80s, I would imagine, percentage to make the playoffs. So that is outstanding work by your San Diego Padres. And, you know, when we come back in our 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk about the other two games of the series. Very exciting stuff for your San Diego Padres. 1-run wins, 10-inning wins. What happened on Friday and Saturday in Miami. We'll also play a little take on Woods. We've got a great prize this month. Chance to stay 2 nights at Resorts World and see Carrie Underwood in concert. That's our musical trivia challenge next. Don't Do This and much more ahead. In-season Sammy will join us later. And we got an Italian Paul Rondo report all ahead as well. Coming up,
Italian Paul report.
It's an Italian Paul report.
Yeah.
Coming up next, ahead on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.